Ever wonder why 95% of leads do not convert? Why cold call rates are down and prospects don't open our emails? Why our responses of robocalls and implanting pixels to track user interaction, mostly without permission, is backfiring spectacularly? Well, that's what we intend to find out here in the Buyerside Chat podcast. There are scores of podcasts about selling, but most miss the shift that has come upon the buying-selling process. The initiative has since moved from the supply to the demand side. The Buyerside Chat, your podcast of record for B2B buying, talks to actual buyers, persons, not personas, in the quest to understand the real buyer's journey, their trials and tribulations, challenges and outcomes they're striving for. Welcome to the Buyerside Chat. Thank you for your time and for joining us on this session. I have a favor to ask. While you continue to listen to the podcast, please leave a comment or rating at iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. I personally look at each comment and will give a shout out to each of you in our next episodes. It means a lot to hear from you. Welcome to the Buyerside Chat. No deal can be closed by the salesperson anymore. It is the buyer who closes every deal. In this buyer-led world of increasingly empowered and enlightened buyers, the only way to sell is to understand the buyer and facilitate their internal change management process and deliver on their desired outcomes. The Buyerside Chat, your podcast of record for B2B buying, speaks to actual buyers, persons, not personas, in the quest to understand the real buyer's journey, their trials and tribulations, challenges, and outcomes they're striving for. Welcome to today's show, brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. Today, we have with us Jagdish C. Belwal, founder and CEO, Jagdish Belwal Advisory.
The whole discourse and the trainings and everything is around selling because it belonged to a particular era when selling was without the social networks in play. I've been buying technology since for the last about 18 odd years. So, you know, initially, this whole process was very asymmetric. Buyers did not have a lot of information and they did not have too many ways to gather the right information except like, you know, a partner connecting you to, another buyer. And of course, which will be favorable to him or her. So it's hard to get neutral feedback. You could rely on some consultants, but it wouldn't give you the proper context that you're looking for. What I saw, you know, the real shift that happened, the social networks came into play initially in the consumer market. You know, so suddenly, you know, any brand was at a risk of a consumer outrage out there. Okay. And, you know, and the virality. Now, the B2B sellers thought, that's not going to be the case because, you know, there's nobody who's going to kind of, you know, talk about enterprise technology on Facebook or on Twitter. Okay. But I think that's where they kind of were caught napping because post the initial, you know, euphoria of all the personal and, you know, friends groups getting created, you know, people finding long lost friends, the professional groups cropped up. So even today, we have so many CIO groups, any kind of interest groups are there. The information security groups are there. I'm part of a book lover club and, you know, we have runners club and all those kinds of things. And, you know, the discourse is happening in these groups. And the worst thing, at least, you know, for a consumer company, you can track social media and you can figure out what the discourse is happening. For technology buying, for B2B buying, the discourse is unknown because these are private groups. There's no way you're going to get an entry into these groups, okay? And therefore, it's very hard for you to understand what the discourse is. So I have seen, chats, and these are very, very engaged chats where, you know, somebody wants to buy something. He's about to make a decision, brings up three options that he's looking at. And, you know, the discussion starts and everybody who has had an experience gets a voice. And finally, you know what? I have seen cases where this guy was like, I am almost zeroed in on this technology and he changes his mind. Okay. Now, as a seller, you are like, you know, yeah, I'm getting it, right? I mean, those are the vibes I was getting from the customer. And then suddenly you are left wondering what happened. And the sad thing is that you don't have any visibility into it. So that's how the shift has happened.
Jagdish is a seasoned CIO turned entrepreneur, adept at technology-anchored business transformations. He has worked in varied industries like construction equipment, automotive, and railway transportation. He started his career with Tata Motors as a business manager, set up Automotive World's largest CRM before becoming the CIO of Tata Motors in 2009. Over the last 17 years in IT, he has executed strategic programs in CRM, service, dealer transformation, shared services, HR, supply chain, manufacturing, and outsourcing. He was an early adapter of digital transformation since 2012, leading enterprise programs in IT modernization, mobility, cloud, employee collaboration, and advanced analytics. He actively led the Pan Automotive Industry EDI initiative AutoDX. He volunteered to form Tata Group CIO Council and organized the first ever Tata Group CIO Summit in 2016. He joined GE in 2017 as the International CIO for GE Transportation. He received many industry awards, and his transformational work has been featured multiple times in the Gartner EXP research. He started his own advisory in 2020 to share his deep learnings in transforming businesses through technology. Now, on to this great episode with Jagdish Belwal. Jagdish, welcome to the Buyer Side Chat. I'm delighted to have you, someone with your experience and vast knowledge and original thinking. I mean, what can I ask for more? I'm really delighted to have you. Welcome.
Our pleasure is mine, Swanjan.
So let's dive right in. The entire buyer-seller discourse is hugely skewed towards the sales part of the transaction, right? So if you look at books, you look at blogs, you look at conferences, it's all about selling. And I don't say that buyers don't make cameo appearances in those places, but they are cameo appearances. They are not the hero. They are not they are not leading the discourse at all. So I think it's hugely important that we sort of at least start attempting to setting the record straight, because I believe that we are in a buyer-led world. The process is actually being led by the buyer and not the seller. So do you see that shift, that it has the initiatives that move from the seller to the buyer?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been buying technology since for the last about 18 odd years. And what you're saying is absolutely true. So, you know, initially, this whole process was very asymmetric. Buyers did not have a lot of information, and they did not have too many ways to gather the right information, except like, you know, a partner connecting you to, you know, another buyer, and of course, which will be favorable to him or her. So it's hard to get neutral feedback. You could rely on some consultants, but, you know, but it wouldn't give you the proper context that you're looking for. What I saw, you know, the real shift that happened, and therefore, before I come to the shift, the whole discourse and the trainings and everything is around selling, because it belonged to a particular era when selling was without the social networks in play. Okay. So what has happened is that, you know, social networks initially brought the social networks came into play initially in the consumer market, you know, so suddenly, you know, any brand was at a risk of a consumer outrage out there. Okay. And, you know, and the virality. Now the B2B sellers thought that that's not going to be the case, because, you know, there's nobody who's going to kind of, you know, talk about enterprise technology on Facebook or on Twitter. Okay. But I think that's where they kind of were caught napping, because there came WhatsApp, and post the initial, you know, euphoria of all the personal and, you know, friends groups getting created, you know, people finding long lost friends, the professional groups cropped up. So even today we have so many CIO groups, you know, any kind of interest groups are there. The information security groups are there. I'm part of a book lover club, and, you know, we have runners club and all those kinds of things. And, you know, the discourse is happening in these groups. And the worst thing, at least, you know, for a consumer company, you can track social media and you can figure out what the discourse is happening. For technology buying, for B2B buying, the discourse is unknown because these are private groups. There is no way you're going to get an entry into these groups. Okay. And therefore, it's very hard for you to understand what the discourse is. So I have seen, chats, and these are very, very engaged chats where, you know, somebody wants to buy something. He's about to make a decision, brings up three options that he's looking at. And the discussion starts, and everybody who has had an experience gets a voice. And finally, you know what? I have seen cases where this guy was like, I am almost zeroed in on this technology and he changed his mind. Okay. Now, as a seller, you know, you are like, I'm getting it, right? I mean, those are the vibes I was getting from the customer. And then suddenly you are left wondering what happened. Okay. Yeah. And the sad thing is that you don't have any visibility into it.
Hmm. Absolutely.
So that's how the shift has happened.
You brought out a very interesting point, and I have been talking about this for a while, that B2C basically precedes B2B because we are the same person. The same person who is buying on Amazon is go to G2 Crowd to check out the reviews, right? It is not two different people. We like to believe that these two different people and we should talk to them differently. But behaviors basically transcend from a personal to a professional mode, right?
Absolutely.
Why is this whole thought process in the sellers that, this is different and these folks will behave differently in a B2B scenario?
I would just say this is, we all talk about technical debt. So this is more like a, you know, legacy debt in sales that, you know, we think that, hey, you know, we can use our brand, we can use, you know, our engagement, our, you know, whatever was the traditional way of selling, we can use all of that and get our way. It's no longer the case.
Would you say that typical traditional outreach processes, which was starting with email and phone calls and meetings and then relationship building, that the efficacy, I'm not saying the efficacy is zero because nothing is zero. The efficacy has dramatically reduced vis-a-vis how the buyers are buying today.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think today it's all about engagement. It's about advocacy. Okay. And that's where I want to come to, you know, so what's the biggest shift that I have seen? The biggest shift is advocacy. If you are able to generate advocacy, right, which quadrant or which wave you are in does not matter. Okay. If you have done a good job and if the customer is like, you know, all raving about you, you have generated advocacy. Now, this customer, and I see this happening without solicitation. So it's not that a seller is, you know, telling his customers that please refer me. No, it happens automatically.
Right.
So when, you know, when this conversation starts in a group that I'm evaluating these three technologies, which one should I buy? You know, this guy would say that, you know what, do this and do it with this.
Right.
Because they made me successful, so they will make you successful. So I think it's getting a lot on the pull side, I would say. So there is a push. I can tell you from my personal experience, I get emails. I have had thousands of unread emails, you know, which was cold emails. I get calls and I politely tell them that this is not the way you sell technology. Okay. Some of these things are like really passe. You can't sell technology through the traditional push means. You have to create the right pulls. I mean, one way, there are many forums, you know, where you can engage meaningfully, okay, with buyers, and you got to figure them out.
What kind of forums are these? I mean, obviously, it will be industry specific or knowledge specific or vertical specific.
So, you know, earlier, you would have seen people bringing out these, press releases that, you know, so-and-so has bought so-and-so $1 million of my product's worth, right?
Right.
And there was a bit of a fleeting, moment of glory for both sides, okay? But nobody bothered after that. Now, today, I wouldn't say we see less of it happening, but all I would say that the discourse has changed. Today, you are publishing something only when the customer is successful. You're actually publishing customer testimonials, right? You're generating the engagement through those testimonials. And a customer would not, you know, be ready to come out, let's say, in a magazine or on a, you know, social media or LinkedIn or anything like that, if he had just bought from you and he hasn't really been successful with it. So you got to really make your customer successful and then, you know, create those customer success stories. And people have been doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just that it's become much more important today.
So let's move on to your observation about, which you just mentioned, about the so much of engagement is happening in groups like WhatsApp, which was not originally meant for that. What is your take on this? What's going on there?
So I think the biggest shift, which is the advocacy part, that you got to generate advocacy. You have to create customer success stories where even behind your back, the customer is talking good about you. So that's the starting point for me, that you have to generate advocacy because most of the discourse is happening where you're not present.
Right.
Okay. So you want to better be sure. Now, how do you do that? The first thing is authenticity. Everybody cannot be in the, you know, in the top of the line for whatever the analysts cover. Okay. Now, how much do you fake or how much do you pretend to be there? It's not necessary because eventually it's the customer who you need to make successful. Okay. Now, in the process of doing that, one of the things that really impresses the customers is you being you. I can give you an example. Long back, you know, when my first foray into technology, I was moving from customer service to CRM, and we were talking to a few people. We had a very radical model. This was in 2003. We wanted to build a dealer cloud. At that time, the cloud word didn't exist, so we just called it a central dealer system. Okay,
right.
And the right architecture, the right technology didn't exist. So we had to really choose the best fit. And so here we had one of the company salespeople, one of the big ones, sales guys, who came and, you know, we were talking and he asked us, okay, may I know who my competitors are? And we said, yeah, you know, these are things whose competing is like public knowledge generally. You don't need to ask us. So we told him the competitors. And then, you know, he said, listen, if those guys are talking to you, then you better buy them. Don't buy my product. Okay. That was like, you know, it hit us. And we said, are you serious what you're talking? You're not worried about your targets and all of that? He's like, no, you know, you guys are wanting to do something new. You guys are wanting to go to the dealers. Okay. And with the context that you are trying to address, okay, the best user experience, the best user friendliness that you will get out of all the three that you're talking to is in this product. So go for it. Okay. And he actually opted out of the race. I know he faced a lot of flack within his organization. But you know what happened then? Our relationship transcended into a one of trust.
Yes.
He sort of became our advisor because he was no longer involved in the process. We started taking advice from him. And fast forward 7 years later or 5 years later, he was somewhere else and he sought my time and I didn't really have to think twice about it. Okay. And we bought his product. Okay. And we made some success out of it. So it's like, you know, be authentic. Okay. Be authentic for customer success.
Right.
And your customers will love you.
Absolutely. Wonderful point. Wonderful point. I hope people are taking this away. What next?
So that leads me to the next one. The segue was there in the previous point.
Right.
You know, you are here. People are really, you know, people go after quarters. But you know what? I mean, eventually you're here to build a long career, a decades long career.
Hmm.
Okay. Today you are in sales, tomorrow, you know, you will handle a region and the day after tomorrow, you know, you will handle a big territory. So whether you will take up those roles or not depends on how strong fundamentally you are and how customer oriented you are and what kind of word you're generating out there in the market, right?
Right.
So all of what we are talking about here, the perspective is that while I have to meet my quota, okay, I have to also make a career. Now, let me come back to this previous case. Okay. So this guy, he lost that deal, but it was in my interest. And then next time he had something which was of value, I trusted him that, you know, this guy won't sell me wrong. Okay. And we actually fast-tracked the process. We bought from him. And then he went all out to make us successful. And we had a great relationship. And anybody who he would come to me and say, hey, Jagdish, you know, can you tell them about me? He would say, tell me very clearly. Tell them the truth. Okay. And he knew that what I'm going to tell about because he was so sure of what he's doing. Right. So I would say, you know, more and more as the world becomes more transparent, more social, it's very important to be authentic and build a long career on top of authenticity and customer advocacy rather than fool your way around. It's not really a long-term strategy.
I think what I hear you say also, Jagdish, is that you are not going to build relationship because you, at the point of trying to sell, you share some Gartner report or you share some article or you send some messages. And I think we are actually shortchanging ourselves when we say that I and you will become friends because I sent something your way and you'll start trusting me. I think it reminds me of, I don't know whether you read David Ogilvy's Ogilvy on Advertising. That was his first book, and he says at one point that the customer is not a moron, she is your wife.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
so we somehow believe that we can, you know, we short circuit and we'll build everywhere. You see the discourse in sales, we are talking of building trust, but in the same breath we do not hesitate to use a tool which will surreptitiously track you whether you're looking at my deck or not. You know, I don't think twice before doing that. The people who are building those tools are not thinking twice before doing that and so on. So trust and transparency, and there is nowhere to hide. I mean, people have to understand that.
It's time for a short break. I asked Jagdish about this whole conflict B2B sales organizations go through. The need to build trust with the customer vis-a-vis the lure to track buyer behavior without permission. As a buyer who has spent hundreds of millions buying technology and services, what does he think? We will hear him on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. Right before the break, I asked Jagdish what he thought of trust, transparency, and being tracked by sellers without permission. Listen in.
Everywhere you see the discourse in sales, we are talking of building trust, but in the same breath, we do not hesitate to use a tool which will surreptitiously track you whether you are looking at my deck or not. You know, I don't think twice before doing that. The people who are building those tools are not thinking twice before doing that and so on. So trust and transparency, and there is nowhere to hide. I mean, people have to understand that. In today's over-connected world, you cannot hide. If you are doing something, it will come out, right?
I mean, I told you, I mean, I see examples after examples. Every other day, there is somebody asking for recommendation or somebody wanting to work with a partner and then saying that, hey, how is it working with this guy? And you have both positive and negative recommendation. So what you're saying is really, powerful, that don't take customer to be a moron. So, you know, there was we again discussed it earlier. There was a time when we could do that because there was an information asymmetry, right? In today's world, I mean, for example, if you are faking it, you know, somebody insider who's not happy, who's principled, who knows that something wrong is happening, can leak a word and then, you know, you're exposed.
Yeah.
So no point, trying to take shortcuts. Now the thing is that that's where the importance of being authentic comes. You know, nobody is perfect,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, it is far, far better to call out your own imperfections, okay, than try to hide them and let somebody else expose them.
Yeah, but then you are also talking of character.
Exactly. So I call it authenticity.
Yes.
Authenticity is a very, very important part of your character.
Okay.
If you're authentic, if you say that, hey, I don't have the capability today, but it's part of my roadmap.
Yeah.
So don't tell lies to customers.
So what are the other points that you had as a part of this series of thoughts that you are articulating right now?
The next one was connection. Okay. So, again, the traditional selling discourse has been about, you know, talk about your product's features, you know, do all kinds of, it was a lot of push. Okay. But, you know, even the oldest of books on selling will tell you that the buyer has to have a need. Okay. And when it comes to B2B, it's actually an organization which you are connecting with. It's not just that person who is buying from you, right? So you need to go deeper, and some of these are large enterprises. You need to understand and take a good perspective of what is the problem that I'm trying to fix. And many times it takes talking to more than one people. It takes, you know, keeping your product features aside and connecting with the customer, understanding the needs of various stakeholders, understanding the problems of not just the people who are buying from you, but also their customers. So as IT, my customers would be in supply chain, my customer would be in sales and marketing, my customers would be in manufacturing and HR and so on. So are you taking an extra effort to connect with the larger perspective and then being able to information-wise be as symmetric as I am? Okay. Because let's understand, the symmetry of information is basically creates the power equation. So why buyers are today more powerful is because they have more information today. Now, how to kind of go one up on the game is to know your customer so well. There are so many things. I will take a couple of examples for you. It's as simple as that. When you're going out to sell to somebody, let's say an enterprise technology, have you taken the time and patience to read through the annual report and go through some of the data in terms of understanding, you know, what are the enterprise needs or what are the enterprise pains? Have you looked at any of the analyst, commentaries around, you know, what are the strengths and weaknesses? And that's a very simple thing. Plus, in today's world, again, given a lot of information, if you do your homework well, you are really, you know, the customer will respect you for the amount of homework you have done. Okay. The other part is like, you know, your own sensing the needs. So I'll give you an example. There was this startup we were working with, and these guys had done some good amount of innovation on the user experience, and we were trying to build a mobile platform with their help. And, you know, it kept coming out that our guys were giving them requirements which they would typically do for a portal. Okay. I mean, there would be absolutely nothing around swipes, there are nothing around long presses and, you know, stuff like that. Okay, that's how the mobile apps are built. And we were kind of hitting a roadblock as to how do we do that. So what this guy did was he suggested to us, he said, Jagdish, have you guys done design thinking workshops? And I was like, no, I have heard about it, but we haven't done it. Okay. So he said, can I do it for you guys? Will you give me the space and, you know, the time from your people? Will you send an invite to all the people concerned? I said, yeah, happy to do it. And so he actually, this guy took, this was not at all connected with his sales process. Okay. But he wanted us to do justice to his product. So, and he understood the problem. The problem was we were not able to envisage how to do requirements for a mobile app. So he conducted a design thinking workshop for like 20 of us. It had, you know, people from our customer department, the sales, it had IT people and all of that. And they actually make them go out and, you know, even talk to some people on the street. Okay. And end of the day, people had, you know, those aha moments where they were like, okay, now we understand you. Okay.
Right.
So this is, I would say, a classical case of connection where you're understanding the latent needs. You're understanding what stops the customer from, you know, using you in the most productive manner, and then creating that impact. I mean, again, if you ask me, I'll recommend that guy to anyone. He has generated advocacy just by connecting with even what we did not tell him. He even connected with that need.
Right. 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 One interesting point comes up before you move on to your next point. How does one actually map this organization dynamics? Like, as you rightly said, you as the CIO will go and procure a technology product or service, but you are actually trying to achieve an outcome, which is why you are buying this product, and you are trying to achieve that outcome for someone else. You have no personal agenda to achieve. Sales Correct. Wants to achieve something, manufacturing wants to achieve something, your distribution wants to achieve something, and so on and so forth. So how, as a seller, does one understand the dynamics of this particular purchase requirement that has come up, who all are involved, and what kind of stakes do they have? How does one go about doing that?
See, it's actually easier than what we think. Okay. But I think my first question to you, Subhanjan, is that, is everybody thinking that way? That's where the problem starts. Because today's world is like, you know, you ask and you shall be given.
Right.
And there's enough information out there. You know, you can always figure out from the network who are the common connections. You know, there's so much of, I would say, resources out there to tell you how to do it. But the first thing that you have to understand is, you know, do I need to do it and how important it is for me to do it?
Right.
So if you bring this principle of building a connection, you know, you will reach out to the right people. Sometimes, you know, these are ex-employees, you know, who are willing to help you. Okay. Right. Common people in the network. Okay, who will tell you what are... So I have helped people like that, you know, because, I mean, today's world, people are trying to help each other.
Okay? Yes.
But the first thing is that you got to reach out.
Yes.
You got to ask before you shall be given.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. And we like to believe that we can buy some technology which will help us surpass that effort. But that rarely happens, right?
That's right.
So, what's the next point after connection? So, we have gone through three.
Yeah. So, we've gone through four, actually. Advocacy, which is the foundation in today's world. Then, authenticity. Building a decades of career, focusing on decades of your career rather than the quarters. Building connection with your customer. And the last one that I have is accountability.
Right.
You know, again, I can't say which one is more important because for me, all of them, they form equally. They come together equally to create that, you know, that brand for you where you get advocated to other customers, where people talk about you, where people give you references, where people are willing to connect you. And that is the advocacy. So these four things together build that advocacy. So advocacy is built by authenticity, decades before, connection, and finally accountability. So I can give an example. I mean, accountability is simple, but again, we've discussed in our webinar also where you and I were part of it, that how the world has changed. You know, earlier, an account manager meant an account manager. He or she was accountable for the success of the customer. But today, account manager has become a misnomer. So account and delivery has been separated. And the account manager is actually the sales manager who sells and grows the account, whereas he doesn't have too much of control over delivery. I would say for success, you have to bring them together. And even if from an organization structure point of view, it's not. The person who is the account manager needs to extend himself and influence himself if necessary to make sure that the customer is successful. Otherwise, you know, he or she is going to be impacted by that. So I have a very simple principle in terms of where I need to act. Okay. If the outcome of something is going to impact me personally, I would rather be part of that outcome.
Right. Right.
Okay. So if the, if I have sold to a customer and it's my delivery team who's messing up, it's eventually going to affect their advocacy for me because I sold them. So I rather get involved. So sometimes it means breaking the organization boundaries. Sometimes it means working your way around to get involved. But, you know, the great salespeople do that. I'll give you an example. We were sold a database product by an amazing sales lady. And she was actually technically very strong. And that's how she could sell to, you know, a very strong technical and architecture team of ours. Mm. And then we started implementing and things just started going bad. Our very first one, you know, the database started getting slower and there were like fires all around. And as soon as I got to know, I just called her. I knew it was not her job. I should have raised a support ticket on that product, okay? Right. But I simply called her. I knew her technical prowess. So I just called her and I said, hey, can you have a look into it? So our office was on her way. So she dropped in and she called one of her experts as well. She got my entire team in a room, okay, and just took charge, started asking all the right questions, and got people to change the settings right away. And half an hour, we had resolved the problem. Wow. So this was an amazing example. You know, I always quote this example of accountability for somebody in sales. Keeping everything aside, the day schedule aside, rushing to solve a customer's problem, a hardcore technical problem, which she was not supposed to solve. Okay. And that has created like lifelong advocacy for her, right, from me as well as from all the people who were there in that room.
If a buyer has finished like 60-70% of his research and quote unquote journey before he talks to any vendor, then a lot of decisions have already been taken, right? Before even the vendor gets to know that something. So basically, if you get to know of a buyer who has already made up the mind to buy, there is a possibility that you are already out of the race because he has already considered and not contacted you. So the question that I have is that especially when you are, you know, taking a technology decision, for example, if you decide to build a dealer cloud, that didn't come overnight. I mean, you had an idea, then you sort of, I'm just thinking that you got buy-in from people who are immediately impacted by that, and then it would have progressed through multiple sessions, people would have done their own research, specs would have been drawn up, and all of this has happened without any vendor getting a clue that this is going on.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So how does, and by that time, a vendor typically would get to know, it would be a defined need, but he would have missed a lot of the journey that has happened, which means the possibility of sort of inserting actual value would have been lost. So how do you say in your context, technology buying, how can a vendor get in earlier into the discussion? What is it at all possible? Can that happen?
I wouldn't say every technology is like that. Like, for example, if you are, let's say, looking at something like a firewall, okay, or something like a network purchase, okay, or let's say servers. I mean, these requirements tend to be a little standard.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, in my case, for example, setting up a dealer cloud, these are pretty complex requirements.
Yes.
Okay. Now, in complex requirements, what I have seen is the word does get around the market. In fact, sometimes when we were like sending out consciously words around the market that, hey, we are looking at something like, because sometimes you're not sure whether something better exists or not beyond the known ones, right? You want the word to go around in the market. So again, you know, if you have generated the right amount of advocacy, Let's say I want to do something. I send a word around in my WhatsApp group, say, we are wanting to do this complex business process transformation required. Do you know somebody good? Okay. And then you can give a preference that I'm willing to look beyond the top three or top five for some innovative solutions. Okay. If you have done all the right things and you have generated the right amount of advocacy, you will get referred.
Right.
Now, but generally I have seen that for more complex requirements, there is an early engagement which the customer himself does. The trigger there is that when I have a complex requirement, I'm talking to three or four vendors. These are exploratory discussions, which are like, hey, what do you have? What do you have? Okay. And finally, when my RFP goes out, it actually has some sort of a, you know, collation of a different set of requirements, which have all been learned from my network, from the partners.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, one way is to get referred, make sure that you have the referenceability, okay, which gets you into these prospects. And yeah, the other one is to keep your eyes and ears open when you know something is going around in the market.
Right, right. And are there forums where people can go? For example, would you go to forums which also has, you know, vendors? And where are the places that one can look for these signals? What would be, because otherwise it's happening in your private social, right? You are typically talking to your friends and colleagues. Your private social will not have vendors in it, in most of the cases, I would presume.
Yeah, no, that's a hard question. So, you know, that's where I think your real sales acumen comes in as to, you know, how you connect and how you basically understand these opportunities from the network that you have created.
Right.
I mean, there is some value in being in those conferences or, you know, events where let's say the IT decision makers come together. But I have my fingers crossed on that.
Okay.
Because, you know, what's happening 90% of the time in these forums is like the typical selling, the typical push. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that's for another discussion.
Yeah, absolutely.
but I've got some strong views about that as well.
The Buyer Side Chat is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink enables high-quality interactions between buyers and sellers through presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create personalized sales presentations and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversation. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 650-847-5884. That is 650-847-5884.
Okay, that's great. And that's a great note to end this chat on. Thank you so much, Jagdish. I really enjoyed talking to you. I'm just looking at it as a beginning, and I'm sure I'll have you back on the show and talk with more granular details about more specific thoughts and ideas, and keep sharing your thoughts. I look forward to reading more in LinkedIn and wherever else you're publishing.
Absolutely, Subhanjan. It was a pleasure talking to you and then sharing my thoughts.
Thank you so much.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of weeks with great conversations with Aval Sethi, Head of Procurement at Embassy Services, Arun Varadarajan, EVP and Global Head of Digital Business at NIIT Technologies, and many more. Here is a shout out to my friend Kingshuk Hazra, founder of Lead Strategist, for making introductions to guests on this show. Thank you for being with us today on the Buyer Side Chat. This is the podcast of record for the buyer side journey. And those who know, that's the journey that matters. We hope this conversation helped you with insights that you can go and apply right now to your own value transaction process. See you in the next episode of the Buyer Side Chat.